This morning we are going to be in chapter 14 of Matthew, and so if you want to turn there, this is probably one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. It just always amazed me from even a young child, the fact that Peter was able to go to Jesus walking on the water through the power of Jesus, and it just always amazed me, and something special about it. But over the past 2 weeks, as I've studied this chapter and this passage, I saw something different. It's probably something you have seen all your life, but for me, it was something completely different that I had not looked at it this way. And so this morning, as we look at this, I pray that you would just open your heart and allow God to speak to you in a way that however He sees fit, because He wants to speak to all of us this morning. And so if you would follow along with me, I'm going to start in verse 22 of chapter 14 of the book of Matthew. It says, "Immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when it came evening, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water.' And He said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately the Lord stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we just pray right now that You would bless Your word. Lord, get me out of the way. Speak to us. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us to be submissive to You this morning and understanding that what is before us is Your word that's alive. And may we take it and apply it. In Your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is one of those passages that I love. And there's so much in there. And as I look at it, the first thing that pops out to me, because we're talking about, you know, as Jesus, they had just fed the 5,000, which is in all four of the Gospels, one of the only miracles in all four Gospels. But this miracle here, it's in three of the Gospels of Jesus walking on the water, but only in Matthew is Peter told, we're told that Peter walked on the water. The other two do not mention Peter. And so what I want us to look at this morning is not what Peter did so much as what Jesus did. You know, so many times we open God's Word and we know we're supposed to learn from the people that are in the Bible, whether it's Moses or David or whoever is the passage is about, and we see them and we want to learn either from their mistakes or what they did correct, what God had told them to do, what God used them to do. We want to learn all those things, and that's true, we should. But I think sometimes we miss what God does. We get focused on what Peter did, and it was an amazing thing. He was the only one that had faith enough to get out of the boat. We don't mention the others. We mention the fact that he had little faith and he began to sink, but we don't mention the fact that the others stayed in the boat. But the thing is, Jesus called him out of the boat. One word pops up immediately in this passage, three times. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand. Jesus doesn't waste time. If you get nothing else, get that. Jesus doesn't waste time. Everything he did here was immediate. That's going to play into what we're talking about in just a moment. But as Peter did walk on the water, an amazing feat, It was all by the power of Jesus, nothing in Peter other than his faith. But he was able to step out and he was able to walk on the water. And the fact that Jesus was there in the middle of the night, probably it was the fourth watch of the night, which would be 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. Scholars believe that they were somewhere about 4 miles into their paddling. And it wasn't a storm. Sometimes people say, oh, there was a big storm when Jesus come walking on the water. Well, if you read the Gospels, it wasn't a storm. That was other times when he was asleep in the boat and things like that. This was just the wind. And it was a tough wind. And because of the wind, I'm sure the waves were somewhat. But it wasn't like a raining lightning storm. It was just the wind. And that's something you can't see, but you definitely feel. And it definitely makes a difference around you. And so as Jesus is there in the middle of the night, probably 3 to 6 in the morning, probably closer to 6 because they were able to see him. And we get spoiled sometimes because when we think about, well, they could see Jesus walking on the water. Well, you know, if you've got your bass boat and you've got a spotlight, you know, you could see him coming too, but they didn't have that stuff. This is that understanding that it was probably closer to 6 o'clock because they could see at least this figure. Now, maybe it wasn't bright enough that they could make out who he was, but they could see him coming, and he had made his way to where they were at. And then we know that Peter got out of the boat. We know that Peter began to walk, and we know that Peter began to sink. That's not what I want us to look at. I want us to look at the next part. Basically, verse 31 is where we're going to focus this morning. When it said, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. Well, to get to that point, Jesus was there, and Peter begins to cry out because he begins to sink when he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and that's another sermon. But he begins to sink. And when he cries out, Jesus is right there listening. So if we want to stop right now, we want to take this and we want to apply it to us. No matter what he calls you to do, he is there listening to you. He didn't just call Peter to get out of the boat and then turn and look away or walk away. He is watching Peter. He knows what's going to happen. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew Peter was going to sink. And he is there close enough in this boisterous wind that it talks about. He was close enough to hear Peter's cry. Now, if it was me, I'm sure my cry would have been pretty loud. But nonetheless, Jesus was close enough to hear Peter's cry. Go back to where Peter was at. Peter wanted to come to Jesus, and Jesus said, come. He was doing exactly what Jesus told him to do. We could go back farther, and when Jesus got them in the boat and sent them out, they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do, but yet they faced this wind, and they struggled. And they did that for 3 to 4 miles. They struggled as they paddled out in the middle of this lake. And now Peter, as an individual, is doing what Jesus commanded him to do when he said, come. And still, in the midst of that, there is failure. Understand that you and I, even when we're doing what Jesus has called us to do, we are going to fail. We are humans. We are broken. Yes, I am a sinner saved by grace. He has given me a new heart and a new nature, but I am still broken. He is fixing me. That's his process of sanctification, taking me from where I was to where he wants me to be, and it's a process. But here Peter is doing exactly what Jesus said he could do. And he gets out and he's doing really well, and then all of a sudden something happens and he fails. Have you had that happen to you? I have. Probably once a week at least, if not more. When you're doing what you feel like God wants you to do, and the next thing you know, you stumble and it feels like you're going under. You don't know what happened. It was so subtle. Just to look from Jesus to the waves was just a natural turn of the head. Whenever we're working and doing what Jesus has called us to do, when God tells us to do something and we begin to do it, just something so subtle in our lives, as subtle as turning our head, and before you know it, we feel like life is sinking. And so when I feel that way, I'm hesitant to think I'm good enough for God to use me. Jesus is close enough for you to call out. But you know the problem with me, and maybe with you, is when I realize it's my fault that I've turned my eyes off of God and I've begun to sink and I begin to falter or fail in what He's called me to do, I feel like, how can I ever call on Him when I've failed this bad? How can I call on Him when I failed in front of all these people? I was supposed to be the role model for the rest of the people in the boat. And I took my eyes off of Jesus and I failed. How can I ever cry out to Him? And so a lot of times we stay sinking in that water, struggling because we're too proud or too ashamed to cry out to Jesus. But He's there for a reason. Jesus didn't say, yeah, come out and walk on the water, and we're going this way, and Jesus take off. That didn't happen. Jesus was there because it says immediately Jesus stretched out His hand. Man, He knew what was going to happen. I read something here a while back on somebody's post on social media, and it said, God knows what His plan is for you, and He knew that your, this is a bad thing, but your stupidity couldn't mess that up. That's why it really sunk into me. Because God knew how stupid I was, and He still called me to do this. He knew I was going to mess up, and I'm not so bad that I can't, that Jesus can't overcome it. But Jesus immediately stretched out His hand. So that means He was close. We don't know how far they were out of the boat, but we know at this point Jesus stretched out His hand. He's been doing that for a lot of years. Bible tells me that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, Jesus, to come and be born for us. He reached out His hand. He saw that we were sinking as a people. He knew it was going to happen, but He was close enough that He reached out with His Son. And made Jesus Christ's blood, His grace, available to us. Again, it's one of those things that sometimes we're too ashamed to cry out. We're too proud to cry out. But when Jesus is standing there on the water, reaching down in the midst of all of Peter's troubles, He's reaching out to Peter. All He wants to do is just to have Peter, just raise up your hand, and I'll grab it. You know, I watched my kids when they were little do swimming lessons. And sometimes they would say, take your hand like this, and it'll paddle the water and it'll push you back up. Had Peter been doing that, trying to save himself, he'd have never raised his hand to Jesus. And Jesus to be able to reach down and grab it. So many times in our lives, we try to do it ourselves when all we've got to do is raise our hands to Jesus because He's already reaching down to us. Jesus stretched out His hand. And this next one, I'd never seen this. It says, and He caught him. We know, we see the pictures, we see the videos, whether it's VeggieTales or whatever it happens to be, where Jesus is reaching down and He's pulling him out. But I never looked at it this way before. says he stretched out his hand and he caught him. Ray, stand up. She caught that baby Jesus. I want you to understand this. You can sit down now, sis. Not going to make you stand the rest of the service. I tossed that to her and she caught it. It was secured. It's in her hands. When Jesus caught Peter, it didn't go any farther. She caught it. It didn't bounce off the pew and hit Lucas. It didn't go any farther. She caught it. It was secure in her hands. And when you're in the middle of that trial and you are willing to reach out and cry out to Jesus and he reaches out to you and all you got to do is raise your hands to Jesus, he will catch you and secure you in his hands. And you will go no further. Too many times we think he had to drag him out. No. He caught him and he secured him in the hands of Jesus. And you know what? He went no further. So many times when I think that Jesus is going to reach out and pull me out of that bad time, and he does, I'm immediately thinking, I'm going to go right back down. No, I'm in the hands of Jesus. I am secure in the hands of Jesus. And I guarantee you, Peter was no longer looking anywhere but up into the face of Jesus. But he was secure in the hands of Jesus because Jesus caught him. And he wants to catch you and me too. Because we stumble and we fall. And he's standing there waiting to catch you. I asked Ray to stand up and she did. And when I held that out, she put her hands out. She was ready to catch whatever I threw. I had a rock. I thought about that, but I was afraid not in her catching, but in my throwing, that could have been really bad. But it's that understanding that Jesus is sitting there waiting to catch me because he knows I need him. So he's there close enough to hear me cry. He's there immediately reaching out to me. He's there with the ability to catch me and stop me from going any further. And there's so much more. He stretched out his hand and he caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Man, wouldn't it have been great if Jesus had just said, "Hey, Peter, you're good"? No. Sometimes we need to be told that our faith is not what it should be. Too many times we think, "Hey, I've been a Christian since I was 21. My faith is good." No, it's not. If you ever think your faith is strong enough, the Bible tells us that's when you're going to fall. Because you're good enough on your own. You're good enough where you're at. No, you're not. And no, I'm not. He goes on in verse 32 and he says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Two things in this one verse. When they got in the boat, the wind ceased. In other words, when they were 20 feet, 30 feet, 10 feet, 5 feet, however far they were away from that boat, Jesus had caught him. Peter is brought back up to the top of the water. Jesus has a hold of him. The wind is still blowing at that point. Just because Jesus has me doesn't mean that I'm not going to face the wind. You know, too many times people say, "Well, boy, when I accepted Christ, I expected everything to be perfect." I don't know where they heard that. I don't know where they read that. But, you know, a lot of times that's what we do. We think that everything is going to be perfect. No, that's when Satan's going to start attacking. Peter is still in the wind. Because it says the wind doesn't stop until they get in the boat. So however long it took them, and probably not very long, but however long it took them to get back in the boat, they were still in the midst of the wind. Understand that you are going to be in the midst of the wind, even though you're with Jesus. Because too many times we relax and we're good now. No, the wind is still going to be there. The struggles and the strife of this life are going to be there. God is close enough to reach out and pull you out of whatever situation. He is there to stretch out His hand. He is there to catch you. But understand that your faith is not enough, and you need to realize the wind is still going to be against you. Because if you ever think that the wind is not going to be against you, you will never prepare for that wind. You will never stand against that wind. And then the last part says, when they came into the boat, the wind ceased. One of these days, and it may be a long ways off, it may be shortly before He comes back, I don't know. But one of these days, when the wind that I face stops because of the last breath I take on this earth, I'm going to be with Jesus in the boat. I'm going to face wind until that time comes, but at some point I'm going to no longer deal with what this world has to throw at me. No matter what Satan has to throw at me, there's a day that when I take my last breath or when Jesus splits that eastern sky, that I will no longer have to face the things that Satan throws at me. Because there will be no more sorrow and no more death and no more tears, and I'll be on the streets of gold. But when that wind down here stops, I'm going to be with Jesus. That's the assurance. That's the hope that we have. Yes, we're going to face all those things now. But if we are there and He reaches down and He has caught us, we are in His hands through the rest of the storm until He stops the storm. And He's promised He will do that. So this morning, I want us all to stop and think, because you're going through something, or you're going to go through something, or maybe you just came out of something that is tough to deal with. Are you too proud or too ashamed to call on Him? Because if you don't call on Him, it's the same as Jesus standing out there. You're just like one of those other guys in the boat, and you'll never experience some failures, but the rescue of Jesus. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've never stepped out to live for Him. And so you see Him out there on the water. You hear about all the miracles Jesus is doing. You understand, you read everything that He's done in the Bible, and you talk to people and you hear people give testimony after testimony of how Jesus has done miraculous things still today. But you're still sitting in the boat. You've never got to experience the fact that Jesus reached out and helped you. He was there for you. He caught you. He's with you. You may be in that spot, but you don't have to be. All you got to do is call out to Him, and He's there. But we do have to take that second step and reach out to Jesus. And no, my arm's not long enough to reach to Jesus. But it's not me. It's about Him. He just wants me through faith to reach out to Him. Even if I've already failed, even if I'm in the middle of failure right now, He wants me to reach out to Him. And it doesn't take much. You just have to quit doing it on your own and reach out to Him. And He'll catch you, and He'll hold you, and you don't have to go any farther underwater because you're in the hands of Jesus. God has you in the palm of His hands. There's no safer place to be. maybe even still in the wind. But you're in the hands of God, the creator of everything. Jesus had just shown them that he was able to take these fish and these loaves and feed 5,000 people. And then he takes and he shows how he can stop the wind and the waves. He has all the power of the creator of the world. And that's who's reaching out to you today. You may have been a Christian 40, 50, 60 years. That's fine. But the bottom line is this week you need to reach out to him. Because there's something that you can't do on your own. He's calling you to do something this week. I asked a question a few weeks back. What is it that God's calling you to do right now? Whatever it is, do it. And don't turn back when you stumble. Just reach out. Because that's what he wants. Face the wind, but know the hope you have at the end. Okay? If you've never accepted Christ, those same things are there. He's reaching out to you through the cross. He's coming to you wanting you to understand that he died for your sins. He's there. You just have to believe in him. Receive him. Ask him for forgiveness. And he will catch you. And eventually you're going to be through the storm and be with him forever. Wherever you're at, I don't know. But I know this can fit us all because it's God's word. He's close. His return is close. It may be 100 years after I die, but it's close. But understand that the trouble that we go through, the wind we face today, we don't have to go through alone. Because our Savior is there, and he's immediately waiting to catch us. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your word. Lord, the assurance of knowing that you are there. The security of knowing that you will catch us. But Lord, more than anything, the hope of being with you through all eternity. We thank you and we praise you for what you have done through your love, through the blood of Jesus, through your grace and your mercy. In your name we pray. Amen.